Are we recording?
What day is it?
It's the 16th. Today's October 16th, 2018.
It's not.
What? You just said it was the 17th.
What day is it?
I don't.
It's the 17th, Krista.
Don't black out.
I don't. You've confused me now because you said three different days.
It's October 17th.
Okay.
2018. And we're here for some government news and some robot news.
Oh, the robots are off the chain.
Off the chain, huh, Wendell?
Unplugged.
How very urban of you. Our first story is my favorite because we're getting, we look at these robots. We were just actually talking about the Boston Dynamics robot, which we'll talk about later, but it's so incredible. I mean, it blows your mind how good these robots are. And you can't help but think, like, what happens when we strap a sword onto one of those guys, right? Or a gun.
A samurai sword.
And they're definitely working on that. They're working hard at it, but they're real bad at some aspects of it.
Security. Security is what they're not good at. The Pentagon's next-gen weapon systems are laughably easy to hack. And so this article is actually really good. You can go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with the links and references in this article. They talk about different techniques that they use to compromise different weapon systems. They so thoroughly owned some of these weapon systems that they were just messing with the operators, like literally just messing with them. At one point, there was the people that compromised it had the missile system or whatever pop up and say, please insert two quarters to continue.
One hack was so bad that they called them and they were like, stop hacking immediately. This is too dangerous. Like, these are live weapon systems, for the love of God. But across the board, it was just terrible. And it wasn't. These guys weren't really doing anything all that impressive in terms of penetration. You know, it's just like the first few things they tried worked amazingly. And it's like, oh, we have full control.
We were hoping for a challenge. And
the scariest part is the, now this was the Government Accountability Office doing this testing. But the Department of Defense, when, you know, shown all of these horrible things, were like, you guys are overstating the problem. It's not that big a deal in the field.
In the field, you know, where it's controlling weapon systems.
It's like, I don't think you understand. The people that we're killing in the field, they're not sophisticated enough to rub two rocks together. And it's like, oh,
that's... I think they might figure it out.
That's not accurate.
I mean, can you imagine if we were facing an enemy that had a police force so sophisticated that they were familiar with, like, information recon and gathering intel and operations inside, even, like, internet... that's some foreshadowing.
Well, what about, you know, I mean, Russia's the big specter at this point, right? Like, that's the big enemy, Russia and China. And you got those Ukrainian farmers who have completely hacked the John Deere system. I guarantee the John Deere system is way more advanced than the missile defense, don't you think?
That seems logical, yeah.
At this point, after reading this article, yes.
John Deere's tractor system is more sophisticated than the missile control system. God, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, so there would be... That would be bad. That'd be real bad if they could just point our missiles somewhere else. Well, we've come to this world where finally I think the politicians are waking up to the problems of big data, but often they're just doing it as to glorify themselves, get their names in the news.
Yeah.
And this sounds like what this is.
These senators demand that Google hand over internal memo urging Google Plus cover up. So really, this is just, there's nothing like, okay, so if you're living under a rock, Google Plus apparently had a security issue for, like, what was it, like 3 years? And 500,000 people's information on Google Plus was affected. Google Plus is being shut down. And that, the original disclosure, the original discovery of the security problem happened around when Facebook was having the Cambridge Analytica problem. And so the memo was like, ooh, we should probably wait until after the Cambridge Analytica stuff to talk about this.
Which, you know, in fairness, that's not okay. That was a bad move.
Yes.
That was a bad idea. But I don't think it was anything on the scale of Cambridge Analytica. And was there any proof that anybody actually used it? Wasn't it just theoretical?
Yeah, Google has gone over their logs, and they claim that they don't have 100% coverage of, like, people that would have used or accessed the stuff. But apparently, like, there's only 492 developers that would have had access to that. and they've ruled out like 80 or 90 or so, and they're working on trying to rule out the rest.
What, you tell me there are 492 people working on Google Plus?
That seems like
isn't
a
that
lot.
Sad. That's sad to think about.
Is that a 1-to-1 developer to user ratio?
Yeah, they're just literally shutting Google Plus down. So it's too much of a liability.
A personal concierge. And speaking of the government and some interesting outrage, or maybe in this case, lack of outrage.
The FBI director on whether Apple and Amazon servers had these Chinese spy chips. Be careful what you read. So CNBC has an article. They're talking about the Supermicro hack. They're saying, the FBI director is saying what we said, which is this doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. There's other better ways to do this kind of a compromise. And you could do it certainly a lot more undetectably if you were really up to it. But the details of this specific thing don't make any sense. Don't believe what you read.
He's not allowed legally to say, yes, we're investing that, getting that, or no, we're not. Because the FBI, like, they don't do that. So that was sort of his non-answer. But I think he kind of told us they're not, right?
Yeah.
Kind of read between the lines there.
Because it's kind of dumb. Have you gotten spam phone calls? I mean, this is that's more U.S.-centric news, but that's fine. Have you gotten spam phone calls on your phone that's like...
Do you think they don't do this internationally?
They probably do. Well, I don't know.
If you're from another country, tell us in the comments.
That's a good question. So if you don't know, this is a phone call that shows up as if it were in your local neighborhood or maybe even someone you know, but it's definitely not. It's a robocall.
Yeah.
We get a lot of those.
We do.
And I mean a lot.
It is crazy.
Congratulations. Your surgery went well, and you're now eligible for this new mesh. I don't remember going into surgery.
So state attorneys are urging the FCC to combat this neighborhood spoofing, which apparently the relaxed rules mean that companies can spoof caller ID. I didn't sign up for that. When was that?
And they're saying that the technology is there to detect it, but the FCC needs to go forward. I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Do you think these guys are donating a lot of money to the right people?
Must be.
Speaking of people donating money to the right people.
Or getting money donated.
The FCC tells court it has no legal authority to impose net neutrality rules. And this Ars Technica article does a good job of running down the history of the last few years, including the FCC under Tom Wheeler and blah, blah, blah. Basically, the FCC's argument is that because ISPs are information service providers and not telecommunications providers, it has no authority under the law to do any kind of policing or oversight of ISPs, which is the most disingenuous, like blatantly dishonest thing I have ever seen in my life.
What worries me about this is if people fight hard and go the other direction, like, no, these are definitely telecommunication companies and you should have full control of them. Could they then go in and apply like the decency laws and stuff like that?
I think no. Telecommunications companies exempt them, but information services do not exempt them. You got it backwards. Telecommunications companies, if they were classified as telecommunications companies, they're specifically exempt from having to do anything with the content, including Decency Act stuff.
But what about broadcast? I mean, I guess it's never a broadcast when you're requesting it.
Yep.
But I would not put it past the FCC to try to meddle if they get that level of control.
It really does seem like that they've got a deeper agenda here. But here's a really great way of, like, let's turn the argument on its ear a little bit. Does that mean that we as Americans don't actually have any kind of national communications infrastructure? Do you mean to tell me that taxpayers have funded a private information service that can just do whatever? The context of information service and telecommunication service goes back to the 90s. And in the 90s, an information service was something that could run over your data dial tone, or like you could have video dial tone and you could have regular dial tone. And it was a separation of your network infrastructure from the services that ran on it. And so you could have a connection from your phone company and have multiple different information services from multiple different companies. That's how they thought of it. But there's no separation of infrastructure from the service that runs on it at this point. So how could it possibly be that? And why would taxpayers even fund that?
Well, this one,
it's a mystery.
I can't decide. Like, I read this whole, this is a long article too from Billboard. I feel like Billboard was championing this law. And I was thinking, is there something hidden here? And I still can't figure out is this a good thing or is this a bad thing for the consumer?
I thought this was going to be a terrible thing, and I tried to figure it out, and I was in the same boat. So maybe somebody in chat can explain it to us. I don't know.
Chat.
Or comments or whatever.
No, it's chat. YouTube.
It's always chat.
Yeah.
But so this, from what I was able to glean from this, it's supposed to make it easier for the little people to get paid from music streaming.
Yes.
But the big red flag here is that they have not actually ironed out any of the details.
Yeah.
They passed a law to be negotiated later. And the Recording Industry Association of America really loves it, which is a huge red flag. That's like, actually, that's a super bright red LED.
It's like blinking on and off. Danger.
The other red flag is that, I mean, it's Kid Rock. Kid Rock is here and supports it.
Well, the reason he was there is because he's Trump's buddy.
Spotify went on record to say, this is great. You know, we've had to deal with a lot of hoops to jump through to figure out who gets paid what, and now we don't have to do that. And it's like,
But does it give the recording industry a lump sum and expect them to do it? Because I can see why the streaming services would like that, but I don't know that it would ever trickle down where it's supposed to.
It seems unlikely that it would, but we have artists that are really into that. Maybe it benefits mega artists, but punishes small artists.
But that's supposed to be what it's the opposite. Like, yeah. Even,
well, it's supposed to do a lot of things. Who knows what it actually does, though?
But they mentioned even the producers and the technicians might get a couple of shekels.
It's the 96 Telecommunications Act of Music. It looks great. And then in implementation, it's actually the worst thing ever.
We may have to do a follow-up story on it as more details emerge.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, there'd be more.
Speaking of never-ending follow-up stories.
Yeah, Google. I think we're on like a 7-week run of weekly Dragonfly stories. So this week, the Google CEO stepped up and he said that Dragonfly was going to have broad benefits for the Chinese people and economy, but he really didn't itemize those benefits.
The benefits are mostly the cash flow that's coming into Google.
Yes.
That's a big benefit.
Dragonfly is the censored search engine, if you've been living under a rock. But The Intercept has a great article sort of systematically breaking that down, and it's like, human rights violations, one. Profit, maybe one. Humanitarian need, zero.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job. And we also can look back at the Google Plus story. In that internal memo, one of the things that they cited for deciding not to release that was like, we don't want to go in front of Congress like Zuckerberg. That's the last thing we want.
Our bot is not ready.
So, and that's exactly what he's just had to do. So clearly, Google did not want this to happen. So they're just trying to sell it, I guess. I don't know. We talked about last week or the week before, the first time ever we had a forced unlock facial recognition thing. And it turns out they can get a warrant for your face and your thumb, but not your passcode. And so cops are now being taught how to abuse this power.
Cops told, do not look at new iPhones to avoid Face ID lockout. After 5 failed attempts with the wrong face, the Apple ID will fall back to asking for a passcode. Which is a tricky situation for investigators.
That's a very diplomatic way of putting it, article. A tricky situation for the investigators. How dare they have to get a warrant?
Yeah, well, I think maybe they do. I'm not sure. I think maybe they do have to get a warrant for the face. But they cannot force you, even with a warrant, for the passcode,
yeah,
right?
Because of the whole Fifth Amendment thing.
So they actually can very easily get those warrants and immediately, especially if they're like, oh, this is time sensitive. Then the judge is just like, let me sign that immediately. Let me just stamp it. I don't have time to sign it.
If we're still doing the level one news when we're 60, I guarantee there's going to be a callback to this story when we're saying it's like, well, now that, you know, today the Supreme Court carved out an exception for the Fifth Amendment where they can use the transcranial magnetometer to extract your passcode directly from your brain. And that's not a constitutional violation.
I think YouTube's still going to be around in 60 years.
Yeah, we'll be doing something.
There'll be some sort of VR, you know. Our bodies will be dead, but our AI will go on. And probably what will still be happening is outrage in Australia over the side gate.
TechCrunch. Apple rebukes Australia's dangerously ambiguous anti-encryption bill. So this is the side gate bill that we talked about. It took Apple a little while to put together a response for this, but the response from Apple was like 7 or 8 pages, and it is spitting fire. I've never known Apple to use, like, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. You should go read it.
Would you say it's just absolute fire?
It is absolute
100,
fire.
Yes. 100 emoji.
It's amazing.
It harkens back to Apple's battle with the FBI and, you know, them telling us, like, you cannot have this. It's not realistic. We will protect our users if we can. Brilliant. Even if they don't mean it, it's a smart thing to do to come out and say, because it's going to sell iPhones.
It is.
People are going to be like, oh, Apple's going to protect me from the evil government? Here's my money, sir. Super effective.
I'm not even super worried about the government side of it at this point. It's just corporations. It's like a bunch of salivating, you know, fat cat billionaires that are just, you know, figuring out how to carve up the information that I'm exposed to manipulate me in ways that I haven't even thought of.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they won't be able to unlock your phone, but all the data will be collected on Apple's side and sold to them. So there's always that.
As it should be.
Well, speaking of China,
the natural way of things.
A lot, you know, if you're thinking, okay, Dragonfly, what's so bad about it, right? Like, so what? So China wants to do some logging and maybe block some things. I mean, is it so bad? Like, why should we feel bad about China?
The Chinese police get powers to inspect internet service providers. Now, this actually became law like a month ago, but they only published what the law is like in the last week, which is...
Well, I think it's November 1 it goes into effect.
It's sort of problematic, but like, let's take the super Orwellian aspect out of this for a second and talk about how their police force has enough training that, you know, this is local law enforcement too. They have enough training, they can go in and do a search and capture information and do a packet log and get subscriber information and save all that. I mean, our guys apparently can't secure even like a missile defense system.
Well, they can't even stop themselves from looking at the iPhones.
They have to be trained to not look at the iPhone.
This does not bode well.
So they can, all the things that you just said, but they can also just go in and make a copy and take it back and look at it at their leisure. Also, it's not just ISPs. This goes down to cyber cafe levels.
Businesses in general that deal with computers and the public. Yeah. One other aspect of this police force is the police force is supposed to make sure that the cyber cafe and the businesses and stuff have installed their security updates and patches and that they're well protected against viruses and configuration problems and stuff like that. They're going to do network scans to look for like default passwords and other stuff like that, which is like, maybe that's not actually a terrible service.
Well, yeah, I think that's the velvet glove on the fist, you know, the choking hand, you know, it's smooth at first and then they crush your aorta. Well, self-driving cars, we've talked a lot about self-driving cars and the thing about self-driving cars is they generate a ton of data, right? They got cameras everywhere. They're measuring the road. They're looking at, I mean, they're just millions of data points. And we're all going to be generating all this delicious data. And
who owns that?
Is it yours? Your car is generating it, right?
You think it was yours? No.
Who thinks that? No one thinks that.
Even in the EU. Now, the EU held a routine vote on regulations for self-driving cars, and they decided that the data would belong to the car manufacturer, which is very surprising. Given the stories that we've talked about for what's going on in the EU, they're usually all about human rights.
It's actually the other way around. So there was going to be a ruling that it could not be copywritten.
Because it's just factual.
Because it's just data. And it wouldn't belong to anybody. It's just, the world should know, right? How is it not good that other self-driving car companies can look at your data and make them safer, right? But then they called that special vote and voted it down. So in essence, they handed that to the car manufacturers and said, yes, you can own it. It belongs to you.
That's crazy.
And that's valuable.
It is hugely valuable, yes.
Yes, hugely valuable. This one almost went in the nonsense section.
Because it is not hugely valuable.
But we have talked about Pepper. Pepper, like, anytime they need a picture of a robot, it's
they
Pepper.
Use it. Well, look how happy he is.
He is adorable.
Look how tiny his little mouth is.
Well, the UK has invited the robot to give a poke of pickled peppers, Pepper is going to testify or whatever, be a witness at the UK Parliament as pre-programmed responses. Obviously, there's no AI there. There's no sentience. But Pepper is a hospitality robot. And so, like, if you're waiting for delicious steamed buns at Din Tai Fung at the bottom of the world, you know, the World Trade Center 101 in Taiwan, Pepper will be more than happy to give you a ticket to, like, it's like your number 147 in line or whatever.
The problem is, this is going to be a debate on shaping laws about AI.
Yeah.
So they're inviting Pepper to speak and testify as if Pepper were sentient on some level. But it's just, I mean, a tape recorder. It would have the same
it's
level.
It's like that scene in Arrested Development where they put the tape recorder in the puppet and they have him testify at court.
Yeah. So to the average person, the normies are going to look at that and they're going to be like, oh my God, the robots are testifying? Oh, we should make laws to control them. But again, a walkie-talkie could accomplish what Pepper is doing here.
It's going to, like, that's not even the darkest timeline. The darkest timeline is when I invite Alexa to be a witness, because that is the darkest timeline.
Well, Alexa does know things and can learn and manipulate you, and she will be doing much more of that.
Amazon patents a new Alexa feature that knows when you are ill and offers you medicine. You seem sad. Would you like me to order some happy pills?
I love the patent drawing down here.
It's like, her face is like, kill me.
But she says, Alexa, cough. I'm hungry. Like, what's Alexa going to do about that?
Order you some food from Amazon, clearly.
Yeah, so Alexa will detect. Now, you don't have to tell Alexa that you're sick. Alexa's going to pick that up from your coughing, if your voice is raspy, you know, if you seem tired. But not only that, Alexa is also going to be monitoring your mood. So if you seem bored or depressed, Alexa will also have products for you.
What if you just have resting bitch face? Resting bitch silence.
Alexa doesn't have a camera.
I know. So. That's yet. What I'm saying. She just detects that you're feeling like, how?
Facebook's the one that's working on all the home cameras, like the home cameras and the alarm clock and literally everything, because that's what we need.
That's not terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you told me 10 years ago that everybody would happily install dozens of microphones in their house that are listening all the time, I would have thought you were crazy, but here we are.
You just have to have the microphones be friendly and play music, and they're all ready for it. Well, we talked about, so the big thing with AI, that when we build AI systems that really try to interact with the public and learn from them, is that they learn to be horrible. Because we had Tay.
That should be the first lesson of AI computer science.
What was the other AI other than Tay that turned
racist? Tay was the worst one, because they learned from Twitter users, and of course the Twitter users flooded her.
And then they had the one from the Reddit one that learned to be psychopathic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Amazon, they've decided to use AI for recruiting, and
Well,
Amazon, this has been used for like 10 years, right? Or
Amazon tried to use this for recruiting because they weren't happy with how their recruiting has gone historically. And so they trained the AI based on performance evaluations and stuff like that of a bunch of their employees, which showed a bias against women.
It wasn't even their performance. It was just their resumes. And most of the resumes they get are from men.
Yeah.
Well, I think they looked at past resumes and then tracked that person's performance over their career.
Yeah, there was
at Amazon.
There was a career component to it, I thought.
So
no, I don't think so.
When they looked at, they're like, okay, we've got these new resumes. Let's compare them to this guy because we really like this guy and he's been great. It was hard for a woman and the way that she worded her resume to ever match those high performing men. And it's, you know, the majority is men. That's just the reality. So the AI was maybe inadvertently a little bit sexist, or a lot sexist.
A lot sexist, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like malice. It wasn't being malicious. It was just what it was basing its pool of applicants on from previous years.
There was a women's college, which, how are we getting away with women's colleges in the modern day? Right? That's not gender equality, is it? I mean,
they're just historical artifacts.
Let's get some sausage into these women's institutions. Balance them out. But the AI had completely rejected every applicant from that women's college. It was just like, nope, no, we don't want your kind here.
Well, it was even things like, if it said like you're captain of the women's chess club, it just saw the word woman and it was like, oh, that's not in any of the pool of applicants that I looked at previously. So that word must not be important. So let's just select against them.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, I've only got one thing to say about this next story. $15 an hour.
Amazon is reportedly building picker robots for fulfillment centers that would be designed to collect items from shipments. So right now, actually, the Amazon picking system is pretty genius. In a lot of their warehouses, a robot will drive under a shelf and bring a whole shelf to a person to pick things.
But
one step closer to Factorio.
We still require that person. And that's a problem. That's a $15 an hour problem.
That's a $16 an hour problem.
That's true, yeah. So the problem with AI grippers, pickers, has always been they are not nuanced enough to not to crush whatever it is, you know. They couldn't pack snowballs, you know, those marshmallow treats.
Oh, yeah.
They would just crush it and just throw it in the box.
We need an automated system that can bring, you know, get a bag of cereal without crushing it, and or also a box of bullets. It's got to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, and supposedly they are working hard toward that. But I don't know. I mean, how long do you think it would be for a giant warehouse to be able to replace something like 90% of its people? I mean, that's a dystopian future, right?
Oh. Here's a Quartz article about this company that I'd never heard of before called Uniqlo. They replaced 90% of its staff at its newly automated warehouses with robots. So they're doing the Amazon thing, and they're taking the Amazon thing to an extreme. They make clothes, I guess.
I guess clothing is low risk in terms of gripping, right?
Well,
I
mean, yeah, it's probably in a box of some sort. Or
no, these things will actually bag it. So they go and get the raw clothing.
The raw clothing.
And they bag it. Clothing and, in the raw. And ship it. And you, I mean, 90%. They need very few human beings. They put the shipping label on it, and it goes on a conveyor belt.
10-to-1 reduction in staffing costs. Yay, robots! Maybe they can get a job helping those police in China that are going to inspect ISPs and businesses and stuff. I mean, that's a pretty high-tech job. It's hard to imagine robots replacing that.
But not all of those people are going to get that job.
Yeah.
You don't need that many of those people.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. No, some of those people are going to be homeless.
Well, obviously the patch for this is to do the universal basic income, which is kind of like a patch for a bug that only delays the inevitable.
How about we do the population control patch? We could have a utopia if we just didn't have all those extra people. Well, we talked about the NHTSA, which no one is actually sure what that means.
What's
National Highway something. And I think we might have talked about this last week, but I think they've fleshed it out more. They are looking to just like, listen, where we're going, we don't need rules. Let's just get these cars on the highway.
Reuters has another article. It's self-driving cars may hit U.S. roads in pilot program. So, yeah, self-driving cars are coming to U.S. roads for real-world testing with limited number of vehicles.
With nobody in the driver's seat. Just going to be straight-up robots. They do talk about here, it's funny that the one thing that they still struggle with, well, I mean, there's more than one thing, but the big thing is they are so timid when turning left. So if you're at a green light and, you know, like you don't have the arrow, you're just waiting for a gap, Waymo will just sit there forever. It's like, not doing it, bro. Not going to try. And it drives the other drivers crazy.
It wasn't this article, but there was another article that said that one of the reasons that the national or the highway safety people are basically okay with this is that in general, for like around town driving and stuff like that, the vehicles generally don't go faster than 25 to 35 miles an hour. And these vehicles are built like tanks. So the chance of injuring a passenger at 25 to 35 miles an hour is basically zero. So even if the software is
garbage.
The
people outside of the car.
Yeah,
though.
The other car is a problem.
Or the people on the bike.
The plebs who are still piloting their own cars.
Pedestrians.
And speaking of driverless cars, Waymo. Now, the last time Waymo checked in, we had an article about this, 3 million. But now, 10 million. So they're racking up the miles.
10 million miles on public roads. And this is not like a driver experiencing 10 million miles of road driving. They are collecting millimeter scale maps of the road around them and the intersections and other vehicles. And like, it is, imagine having like a perfect, absolutely perfect recall of all of that. And that's what they have.
Pretty cool. Again, turning left, still an issue. Man, I would be so pissed. It drives me crazy when people take too long to turn left, because I feel like it's a really good measure of intelligence.
If there's a gap.
Well, how long it takes you, if you're the first car, how long it takes you after the light turns green to begin your turn? Mm. That's a good one. If you're not the first car, the distance between you and the car in front of you. If there's ever two car lengths between you and the car in front of you turning left, pull off the side of the road and eat your keys, because you don't belong in this world.
But I'm not hungry.
Level 1 engagement challenge. Look for that pattern in the traffic around you and report back.
You should already, I'm sure they already noticed, you know, unless you're the problem.
There's a horrible intersection around here where, like, if you want to turn left, you can, but there's always an idiot who doesn't have their blinker on, so you don't know if they're going straight, and then they turn in front of you last minute.
Well, the blinker
thing. That's annoying. That's another thing.
There's no reason to continue ranting on that. Instead, let's talk about some good news. Now, I want to try to remember there were brain scans, right? There was lung scans. There was one other thing.
For AI, like AI learning stuff.
Yeah, the AIs were good at.
It was detecting cancer from your medical records, just passively examining your medical records.
Well, racking up, I'm saying that over and over, aren't I? tick on another win. That doesn't sound as good.
Rack is funny, but rack could also mean something else if they're racking up.
Oh, wow. That was an amazing pun, and I didn't even intend it.
Google AI claims 99% accuracy in metastatic breast cancer detection. Metastatic. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Metastatic.
Metastatic. You're right the second time.
Metastasis. So, Yeah, of course, all of you will notice that these are breast cancer biopsies, right? I mean, who couldn't tell?
We wouldn't know that.
But they always compare them to a team of doctors. The doctors were 63%, or no, less than 63%. The AI was 99%. But sometimes the AI didn't look at every cell on the slide. If they forced the AI to look at every cell on the slide, it dropped to 63, which was better than the doctors still. I think the doctors are in the 50s.
Wow. I wonder why the AI wasn't looking at every cell.
I think
maybe the researcher told it only look at this portion.
Right. In the one mode, in the 99% mode, it was like find the best possible example. But it might be better to look at both of them just in case one is an aberration.
Interesting.
Yeah. But good news. I don't think every time we talk about this, you know, it's like we shouldn't let them make decisions based on this, but certainly pre-screen, right? And then an expert looks at it after that. Would be a great thing. And finally, everybody's favorite story, at least here at the Level 1 desk this week, are these fantastic robots.
I want one. We need a Patreon fundraiser. How much? What is this like? Probably $1 million.
Oh yeah.
Say
probably all of our profits from the last 2 years.
Well, right now $1 million, but once they go into production, I'm saying more like 150K.
I mean, imagine these is like the aforementioned need for the picker robots. This is going to be crazy. You got to watch this
video.
They
need to see the video.
Because this thing.
Look at him.
It's like parkour. I mean, it's literally like parkour robot.
And he has such a, like his movements.
His movements are too precise. So it's like that weird uncanny valley. Like, because, you know, if you saw a human do this, like we kind of adjust as we move. So, like, there's more of, like, a sway to our movement. He just, like, he puts his foot down and his foot is in place.
He kind of, it makes me think of the stair scene from Rocky. Like, I'm waiting
but
for
in
him
a
to,
horrible sort of way.
Waiting for him to put his arms up. It's like, I'm the champion, you know?
He literally is. So, yeah, wasn't there some company that sold Boston Dynamics? Like, there was some
the
question.
No, the mini dog they've started to sell.
The dog was weird.
I thought that somebody acquired Boston Dynamics and then got rid of them or something.
Google bought them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if they might have sold them again.
This is some seriously impressive engineering. It really is. Yeah. I mean, this seems like they're moving at an accelerating pace.
The other cool thing
just
about
like him.
That guy is he's no longer on a tether. You notice he's got like some kind of either a battery or an engine or something. And it's small enough that he can carry it easily.
Well, let's put a nuclear reactor on him, land him on Mars, and see what we can come up with.
That'd be great. Just have him running around on Mars constantly.
He's not actually like doing anything or collecting it. He's just running.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for government and robots. Now, tomorrow or Friday will be another weird mixture. We're going to do some security, a little bit of science, and
nonsense.
I don't remember. Maybe nonsense is the only
a lot of nonsense. Also got a product launch this week, so that's going to be exciting. Oh, and there's a trip. There's a thing. Look for that.